Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, hey, Danny.
Yes.
I hear you're up to something interesting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to be crushing up a bunch of candy cane and going to make like a peppermint chocolate cake tomorrow.
So what you're saying is
oh, no.
You have a cake.
Derek, please.
To bake.
Derek, please.
And you have no clue. No clue at all.
Derek, roll, please.
Chip chip to cuckoo. Somebody get me out of this.
Well, I did. And welcome to another cuckoo episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. You're a plastic pal that's fun to be with. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
I got that out of my system.
I forgive you.
No, you don't. I can still see the smoke coming out of your ears, Danny. You're gonna take off.
Honestly, the cake sounds...
It's going to be good. Yeah,
that sounds really awesome. Nice. And you know what else is great is our social media.
Our presence is really good. We have a couple of things to talk about with the fans. We have a little bit of mailbag stuff, but yeah, talk about the soldiers.
Yeah, you can hit us up on social media. It's Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA, or you can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Believe it or not, we do actually read all of your comments and all of your questions and all of that good stuff. We have a nice handy dandy little chart with all of your questions, and I swear we're going to get to all of them. Maybe we'll get to some today. And whatever podcast medium you're listening to us on, if you can give us a subscribe, if you can like us, if you can rate us and give us a review, that just helps us get this message out to more people so we can indoctrinate the world with our craziness. More the merrier.
Right.
Welcome to the asylum. We would love to have you.
Speaking of that, I keep forgetting to mention, I believe, I need to double check, but I believe we are on Amazon Music now.
Ooh.
As a new popular podcast provider, we should be on there, which is a weird thing to announce like on the podcast, because you're already listening to this on something, and either it's Amazon Music or it's not. Anyway, Amazon Music, give Jeff Bezos more money.
Or somehow, if you want to give us money, we don't have a Patreon or anything like that, but we do have our Redbubble with all sorts of wonderful and completely off the wall designs that are basically sprung, fully formed like Athena out of the brain of Eric Nelson. So if you want your chainsaw you shirt, or to let everybody know that you are a composer, yeah, check that out. Just Redbubble and just search for 12 Points from America and get some sweet, sweet swag.
Get some swag with us. Chap, 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 chap. Oh boy. What's on the docket this week?
You tell us. You're the one who put together the show notes.
I started the show notes, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's not who starts, it's who finishes, just like basketball. Speaking of basketball, I just finished my second watch through of The Last Dance.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you finished watching Lithuanian basketball.
I thought he was going to do the Lithuanian finals. Yeah, exactly.
You think I've only watched that twice? Come on. And I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I have now gone through two viewings of The Last Dance, which is, if you don't know, I don't know if this is a thing. Like, if you're listening in Europe, this may be completely foreign. It is a 10-part documentary about the 1990 Chicago Bulls and about Michael Jordan. And it's incredible. It's absolutely fascinating. If you don't like sports at all, you will still love this documentary. I'm not kidding. It's so well done. It's a really insightful view into the mind of a crazy person named Michael Jordan. And it's wild, but it's so good. I can't recommend it enough. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I would like to know, you guys, it doesn't have to be 10 hours long like The Last Dance is, but if there's a specific Eurovision like storyline, person, song, competition, just anything Eurovision related that you could turn into like a 30 for 30 style documentary or something like that, what would you want to see a doc about? All right, I'll go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a moment to think about this. You've obviously pondered this a little bit, but
I have. I've been thinking about this for weeks. I think there are a few interesting things that could be talked about. You could talk about the gal from Russia who wasn't allowed to compete and the controversy that surrounded Russia pulling out of 2017. But I think it's the same year. I think the best thing I could come up with that I think would be the most fascinating would be the story of Salvador Sobral.
That's what I thought at first.
And you know, you can tie in the history of Portuguese futility at Eurovision. You could talk about the health issues that he was dealing with at the time, which I think a lot of people may not even realize, and the uniqueness of the song and what went into the composition of the song, and so on. It would be great to see some background on his story and Portugal's story and all the interesting little historical notes that can come out of that as well. You can be a little bit tangential with it, I think. That would be an amazing, amazing story.
That's a really good one. Granted, I'm a sucker for Sobral to begin with. So yes, give us all of the Portuguese goodness.
You can paint Chris Kostoff as a villain.
No.
He's the Jerry Krause of this documentary.
That is an absolute step too far.
To Sylvester Stallone.
You are not going to turn my Chris Kostoff into the Carol Baskin of this journey.
Like, no. Carol Baskin! What if they did a 10-part documentary all about, you know, the 1974 contest and, like, focusing on how Annie Fried paid Bjorn Ulvaeus to take a police baton and bash in the shins of one of the...
Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John, yeah.
Why?
Why?
Oh, wow.
And then, like, yeah, Agnieta is, like, complaining about, like, the straps on her boots to the judges.
And it's a documentary, but Allison Janney is in it still.
Yeah,
somehow.
She's still there. Yeah.
And in a brilliant performance.
Well, I mean, it's Allison Janney. That's
the performance of her career, yeah.
Allison Janney as Giuliola Cinquetti. I love it. Mm-hmm. My brain, I mean, there's so many different stories you could tell, but my brain goes to the Ukrainian selection for Eurovision 2010. And it's an interesting story if you don't really know all the whole crazy history about this. So it would have been like late December 2009, the national broadcaster announced this guy, Vasil Lazarevich, that he was going to be the guy singing for Ukraine. And they had a 5-song national final. He was the only artist. He had 5 different songs. And they picked this song called I Love You, this big old sappy saccharine ballad. And a week before the deadline that everything had to be sent into the EBU.
Uh-huh.
So like March, mid-March, they announced that Lazarevich was not going to be singing for them. So they threw together. Not exactly sure why. Mm-hmm. I think other artists that felt that it was unfair because they had this whole other national final and Lazarevich was allowed to compete. Like he actually sent the song I Love You to this new 20-person national final, like 20 different artists. He only came in 7th place after the whole big thing was done all over again. They threw this whole thing together in less than a week. And the song that was selected and the artist that was selected was a singer named Alyosha, the song called To Be Free. And it's, you know, dramatic and a little bit more dark. And it really, you know, pretty cool. A day or so after that national final, it was announced that To Be Free had been allegedly plagiarized from a song from Linda Perry and Grace Slick. And so...
And Grace Slick?
Yeah. A song called Knock Me Out.
Uh-huh.
And so they ended up pulling the song. They still kept Alyosha, but they're like, we're not going to do a whole other final. And the EBU granted the broadcaster an extension and they gave her another song, or she created another song. The song ended up being called Sweet People, which was the song that eventually made it to, it would have been Oslo that year. And it's this dark, brooding, one woman standing on stage, wind machine, looking post-apocalyptic. I think she filmed the video clip in Pripyat.
Oh.
Like, seriously.
On the nose, and, but okay.
Yeah. And she ended up finishing in the top 10 that year, which is, you know, great. But it took how many hoops and how many close to the wire. And
it still sounds great.
Yeah.
I would watch this. This is fast. And like the way it finished at the end of the day, like, that's not the story. The story is all this bad crap, crazy stuff that leads up to it.
Totally.
Like, it finished 8th or whatever is like the card right before the credits roll. It's everything before that. That's the story. Right. That's awesome. Derek?
I'd be really fascinated to see how Lordi got to the contest, won it despite the odds, and that effect it had on the contest going forward.
Ooh, yeah. No, I totally am down with that. I mean, I feel like Lordi was an absolute watershed for the competition. Like, the depth and variety of music that came into the contest after Lordi was light years beyond what we saw before them. So, yeah, totally.
Now, there is a documentary about Lordi, isn't there?
There's a Hatara documentary.
Hang on one sec.
It might be in Finnish.
frantically. Okay, yeah,
there is. It's called Monster Man. The IMDb blurb says, with their costumes and satanic alter egos, Finnish heavy metal band Lordi's victory in the 2006 Eurovision Song Contest gained them international acclaim. But 5 years on, his band are without work and hundreds of thousands of euros in debt. Oh, okay. Ooh. So this is not the same as what Derek said. Can frontman Toby keep his monstrous dream alive? Well, that just sounds sad. Wow. I didn't know that. Does Lordi have an Indiegogo or something? Like a GoFundMe? Is there like a satanic GoFundMe?
It's called Parler.
Oh.
That's nailed mean it. To Lordi.
Yeah.
It's mean
and to Lordi. That's our show. Yeah, good night, everybody. No. Wow. Okay. Honestly, like some sort of watershed moment like that, like Sam said, and just turn it into a whole modern history of the contest or something. You could make that.
Yeah.
I know so many parts yeah. long.
For sure.
Ken Burns, get on this.
Ken Burns is Eurovision. It's yes. 40 hours long.
Oh my God. And it would still be shorter than the average voting sequence in today.
And that's just the first San Remo. Anyway.
I want to toss to a bit of listener feedback that we got, kind of referencing a question that we had from a couple years, not a couple years ago, feels like it at this point, a couple weeks ago. Question about rule changes. What would we do differently if we were the Martin Osterdahl, the Jan Ulasan, the Svante Stoxelius of the contest today? Uh-huh. And he actually had two, one sort of serious one, a little bit more off the wall. The serious one from Derek, other Derek, not our Derek, but listener Derek, maybe have up to five singers to allow for bands, and then they can have four additional dancers allowing for symmetry, just increasing the number of people who could potentially be on stage. But I wanted to shine a light on his suggestion.
Love shine a light.
Or
yep. All right.
Shine a light on some rules and regulations. I'm sorry, what?
The anyway, language rule. We were talking about the language rule before.
Yeah.
He had an interesting spin on it.
Tell me.
Have the language rule, but everybody can only sing in the language of the host country.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if the UK ever hosts it again, everybody's fine and dandy, but God forbid Georgia wins, and then you will have just scads of singers like pulling their tongues out and wrapping it around their heads trying to get that pronunciation down.
I would say like Italy winning would probably not be a problem because, you know.
Italy, Spain, yeah.
Yeah. These are beautiful languages to sing in.
I feel like, though, yeah, if Georgia does it, or like Finland.
Armenia.
Armenia, a country like that. Like, how many participants would they get? No. Oh, okay. It's going to be in Tbilisi in 2022. And there are going to be four countries.
Yeah.
It's just never going to get out of this area. Having said that, I love this idea, which is not to say that it's like
that it's viable in any way.
Great idea.
No, it is a great idea.
It's a great idea.
It is. This is, who wrote this one in? This one's fantastic.
This is from listener Derek Bean. So
Derek.
Thank you so much for sending that in.
There's a new Derek.
Yeah.
Been replaced.
Thank you for sending that in. If you want to be as awesome as our new Derek is, friend of the show, feel free. Like
new
I said.
Eric?
Right.
Moving on. Yeah, just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to have any of your suggestions.
Yeah, thanks so much for writing in. That's a really fun Gedanken experiment.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah. And it makes me want Iceland to win even more.
Yeah!
Oh God, can you imagine?
No, and that's why I want it to happen.
Yeah, but then you're going to end up with a dozen people sending an imaginary language and just pretending that they're singing in Elvish. I love you guys so much. Do you know that?
No, you don't.
All right, what do we have next?
We're delightful.
Is that about it for the mailbag?
I think
we've kind of, yeah, we've got a lot of news to cover, don't we?
Yeah, unless do. Eric.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite a mailbag, but I did want to shout out a very old friend of mine, my buddy Will, that I went to high school with. I will be honest, Will's a great guy. I used to run into him at a record store that I would shop at and he would work at back in the day. And by the day, I mean, oh my God, 10 plus years
back
ago.
Back in ye old day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a minute. But good dude, and he loves music, has great taste in music, and always posts his top 25, 30, maybe 50 albums every year. And I always like to see what he's really into because it tends to be something that I will like. And I noticed today that one of his top albums of 2020 was the album by Hatari. And,
nice.
And I saw that and I wanted to check like, oh, somebody's posting about Hatari. This must be like Ben from Eurowhat or somebody like that. And I was like, no, this is a guy that I went to high school with that has no connection to Eurovision whatsoever. And so I noted, oh, wow. well, I'm so glad you're into this. I love these guys. I love Eurovision. Their song in 2019 was great. And he was like, yeah, I caught the whole show last year. And it was so cool to see them do so well. And then somebody else chimed in and kind of said the same thing. And I was like, wow, more Minnesotans.
More nerds.
Yeah, more Euro nerds here in the great white north.
We're everywhere. And we hide in plain sight.
That's right. So I thought, oh, okay, I know what I'll do on my friend's Facebook page is plug my show. So I did. And it's like, if you're into this, maybe check this out. I don't know. So Will and Will's friend chimed in. If you were listening, thanks for listening. It's always great to chat Eurovision with people and stuff like that. So that was a real delight for me this morning. Really unexpected.
Love that.
Yeah. And Hatsuri's album is great, by the way.
None of us can pronounce it, but it's great.
That's right. I don't have to pronounce it to know that it's great.
Fair enough. All right. We do have news. Actually, a fair bit of news. We're getting into the season where news is actually happening and at a pretty quick clip as well.
News is upon us.
It's right behind me, isn't it? All right, so we'll start out with a little bit of the big stuff from Eurovision 2021, which, I mean, let's face it, like 2021 is in 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We can say goodbye to this absolute freaking dumpster fire of a year and hope that the year to come is a significantly smaller dumpster fire.
I'm like, with all of the recent news, like with the vaccines actually being dispersed and disseminated, they're being disturbed. Like with the vaccines actually being out there, like Britain is already doing its campaign. Canada is going to be going nuts in just like a week or so. I have big hopes that like Eurovision is going to be able to happen pretty close to normal, I'm pretty sure.
I hope.
At least to B level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be full.
2014 kind of year.
It's a good year. That'd be great. Conchita wins again. Sure. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic as well that this bodes well for, and not just Eurovision, but a lot of things. But yeah, it seems like some of the news hit, I guess. And all of a sudden, things were looking a little bit less grim. And here in the US, I remember thinking like, okay, this is cool. But like, if the FDA is like, slow down, then we just kind of go back to where we were. But they didn't. They were like, no. We're good with this. So
we'll see.
I
am personally terrified. Like, not terrified. Like, I am not good with needles. Like, I used to be terrified as a kid. Like, I am not the kind of person who easily goes and gets my flu shot every year. I had to bribe myself with ice cream this year. But I've never been looking forward to an immunization more in my entire life. Granted, I will still be bribing myself with ice cream, but you know, like, I need an excuse to bribe myself with ice cream.
I was gonna say, yeah, like, anyway. That's fine.
Anyway, but looking forward to 2021, the EBU have announced the new logo for the show. It's a slight riff off of the logo from last year, but instead of the way that they had it last year was, it was sort of a look at Eurovision past, and every little wedge of the little circular piece they were doing had to do with when a country debuted in the contest. This year, they're using a similar visual motif, but instead of looking at the past, they're looking at where we are now. And the center of the circle symbolizes Rotterdam itself. And each one of the little rays coming out of it symbolizes the distance from Rotterdam from each country that's participating.
The capital, you mean?
Yeah, to the capital of each participating. So like,
like top left corner is just like a really far one for Iceland. Yeah. And like, oh, that's cool. I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah, it's cool. I kind of preferred last year's logo just because it was a little bit more unified, but I think it's a really nice way to kind of take a nice spin on what they're doing. So
yeah, my main takeaway of the new logo is that Iceland is far away.
Unfortunately, they didn't have the Australian ray like on the same scale as everything else. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to put that on a t-shirt without it like wrapping around you, basically.
You say that like it's a problem.
What's the slogan this year?
Oh, it's the
open
same.
Up.
It's open up.
It is.
Which is even more like,
now it's more like said with like fingers crossed.
Yeah, basically. More or less.
Open up, clenched teeth emoji is the slogan.
Smile, a little speed of sweat, like, please
open up, mark.
All right, yeah. So but we know at the very least, if Rotterdam doesn't work out for us, we do have confirmation from the French broadcaster and the EBU that Junior Eurovision 2021 will be held in France next year.
Oh god,
sick.
Yeah,
sure.
So keep up on your Duolingo.
Let's do.
Yep, learn how to drink pastis, you know, all that good stuff. Not that I'm recommending that for a kids' competition, but hey. Pastis.
I am, however.
There you go. What else? What's next? Ah, this upcoupming weekend is the season finale of Eurovision again.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a special episode. Instead of just rewatching an old contest, between Eurovision again and the folks at the EBU, they're basically cobbling together a bespoke show of semi-final favorites that were left by the wayside and never made it to a final. So that should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what
everyone else thinks actually deserved.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, we put together our list of votes. Like, mm-hmm. we were actually asked by the EBU to come up with a list.
We're technically kind of responsible for this. Whichever picks you see and you think, wow, that was such a good choice, that was us.
Yeah, that was us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
100%.
If you hated it, blame somebody else.
If you did, blame me. Yeah, I am the one anomaly in this group, too.
Like, if you don't like the song, blame Wee Wee Blogs or something. I don't know.
Yep. Blame Wee Wee Blog. Shout out to Wee Wee Blogs, enemies of the show.
No.
Not really.
Don't piss off the juggernaut. Let's be real here.
Wee Wee Blogs is on top of it, on top of a lot of things. They're a juggernaut of a resource.
Yep.
I don't know these people, but Sam possibly does.
I do. Anyway, we are getting more information about national finals. Either songs are being released. We actually have a pretty decent song list coming out.
When am I going to get my FICMAS present?
You are going to get your FICMAS present on the 21st and 22nd of this month, with the final on the 23rd. It's a Festivus miracle.
It's next week.
Wow. Yeah.
We're going to have a Eurovision song in a week, you guys.
I mean, it's Albania, so they're probably gonna end up changing the language and editing it down and all that good stuff. But you'll have what could potentially be. And it's gonna be a very interesting event. The fact that they're having a national final at all is incredible in these times. It's normally held in basically a major concert hall, what they call the Congressional Palace in Central
Toronto. Don't say.
That's what it's called, yeah. I think it used to be a congressional hall, but I think it's now just an exhibition hall. But for the first time ever, it will actually be an outdoor event, which is risky.
They are a Mediterranean country.
Yeah, but I mean, average temperatures for Tirana in December, it's like high of 55 and a low of 36 Fahrenheit. So that's like 13 degrees high.
It's better than hosting at Minneapolis, you know. Is it going to be 40 degrees? Is it going to be 5 degrees?
Who knows? You can never tell. But like, it's going to be really cool to see how they do this and how bundled up the artists are going to be. Is it going to start snowing halfway through somebody's ballad and just be gorgeous and atmospheric? Or is it going to be raining on somebody and electrical shocks start happening? Like, tune in and find out, y'all.
Thickness. Nothing can go wrong.
Let's see. We have the songs have all been released and revealed for Eesti Laul in Estonia. We have them, our full lineup with that. We have our full lineup and all the songs are out from France. So the frontrunner from the all those songs are out. And in fact, one of the frontrunners is the songwriter behind Junior Eurovision winner J'imagine.
Oh boy.
So, completely different song.
Goes, nah, 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 nah. Oh, it is different? Okay.
It's completely different.
Na 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 na.
Imagine. Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
It's a lounge song. Anyone have any favorites? I guess this is mostly to Sam and Derek.
Yeah.
Since Danny doesn't listen to music. of the songs that have been released so far, anything that's made any playlists for you to this point?
I haven't delved super, super deeply in yet. I kind of gave everything in Estonia a really quick listen.
In Estonia?
Everything ever.
I see.
I was impressed by Koit Tuomei's song, We Could Have Been Beautiful. I'm normally not one for a ballad, but I thought it was really very strong. It actually made me stop and listen.
It's a heck of a ballad. And Uku Suviste's song is out.
Mm-hmm.
Also a big ballad.
Yep.
It's better than the last one.
Yeah.
You mean it doesn't sound like a Christian rock song from 2002?
Hang on.
Uh-oh.
No, it's better than that. I'm not going to say it's a great song. I don't know that I would go as far as to say it's a good song. It's fine. It's all right. The fact that it's him, I think, means it probably has a pretty good shot, even though I don't think it's the best song in the field, but I'm sure it's going to do very well. It's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Koit also good. Also not the best song in the field, because the best song in the field, this is a fact, damn it, is Grandma Fun's Lost in a Dance.
I knew you were going to bring that one up.
Because
I knew it.
It rules. It is like an 80s influenced synth pop jam. It's amazing. It's not going to win, and I'm going to be pissed off about it. I already know this.
We
it's
know this.
So good.
Honestly, I would not be shocked if, because I mean, Estela ends up with like a 3-song super final. If the final three are Koit, Uku, and Grandma Fun, I'm almost wondering if Koit and Uku would kind of cancel each other out a little bit. But again, we don't know. I don't know who's going to be on juries or anything like that. But I really like Grandma Fun.
I'm excited now.
It is such a good
tune. I'm already on tenterhooks.
Such a good tune. My goodness. I was going to say it's my favorite song of the 2021 cycle so far, with a couple of caveats. One, there aren't a lot of songs in this.
Which is
so far.
It's what is it, and a world weekend.
And two, if Victoria's Ugly Cry is considered part of the cycle,
I would.
Then it's probably that. Because that song is still crazy good. But yeah, Grandma Fun, you are like a kilogram of fun. You guys love it.
Oh, I see what you did.
Yeah. At least 8 newtons of fun.
Fig newtons of fun?
Sure, why not? Let's see. We also have Croatia. Croatia's tunes are out as well.
Well, at least the names of the artists and the names of the songs.
Right.
With one exception that we'll kind of get to in a bit. Eric, looking at the list, it seems like your favorite artist from last year is back. Is that right?
Yep.
Jacob?
No.
Carlsberg?
It is not Jacob Carlsberg.
He's not Croatian. It's not Carl Bergovich, you know.
Yeah. Mia Nagovetic, a singer whose name I definitely remember at all times, is coming back. She was second place in the Croatian national final called Dora last year and was tied for first and lost on the closest of tiebreakers. She had a tune called When It Comes to You that was amazing and lost to a big turd that I don't remember. But the good news is she's back this year. There are a few interesting returning names this year, I believe.
Yeah, we have the return of Nina Kraljic, who sang for Croatia back in, that would have been 2016 with Lighthouse, winner of the Barbara Dex Award for that year, if I'm not mistaken.
And how?
Yeah. And then we also have Tony Sitchinski, who is a very well-known singer, Eurovision or not, back in Croatia. But he also sang for Croatia back in 1994. So like that's as much of a, how big of a stalwart he is on the scene there.
How old is he now?
Sitchinski is, he's 51.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 51. I think he was pretty young when he got a start. For me, however, the song that is getting most of my attention right now is the song Colors. The singer's name is Bernarda Brunović. She is Croatian born, lived in Switzerland for a while, and was actually in the Swiss national final in 2011. It looks like she has teamed up with none other than Borislav Milanov of Symphonics and has given us Colors. Now, if this is the song that I think it is, and I'm 90% sure that it is, Colors by Borislav Milanov was shot to a number of different delegations since 2017. I heard it in a demo form as it was being shopped to the Bulgarian delegation. It basically came down to Colors or Beautiful Mess. And Beautiful Mess ended up taking it, but Colors was never released. It was recorded as a demo, supposedly by Polly Genova, who actually did
it. And because it was never released, it's still technically eligible?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ooh.
It was shopped to Polly Genova as a potential returning song, and she, I think, just passed on it or just left it as a demo. It was then shopped to the Maltese delegation, and it came down to this versus Michaela's Chameleon, and Michaela opted for Chameleon. This nearly could have been on stage in Tel Aviv.
From how well Chameleon did, you know, yeah. I'd say maybe she made the right choice. We'll have to see. I'm excited if this goes.
Yeah, if this is the one that I think it is, it's a bop. And, you know, Bobby Milanov is incredibly prolific and incredibly talented when it comes to Eurovision in the past.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is the guy who has given us If Love Is a Crime, Beautiful Mess, Nobody But You, Chinggis's Truth, Tears Getting Sober, Violent Thing, like Symphonics.
Take that, Ralph Siegel.
Yeah, seriously.
This song is really, really good if it is the one that we think it is.
Yeah.
This is going to be tough to beat if it does come to Dora. Another fun thing they announced about Dora is that there's going to be a spinoff starring the contest cousin Diego.
Oh.
Sorry.
I knew.
I was going to get one in. you knew it was coming. Fun fact, I forgot to put this on the sheet. I was double checking, learning about Mia Nikovacic, whose name I definitely know.
And remember at all times.
She is a veteran of reality competition TV in America.
Really?
Yeah. So I think she's 18 now. When she was like 12 or 13, she was on the show Little Big Shots. Kids.
Was this a Steve Harvey show?
Yeah. Like a kids got talent sort of a thing. And she became kind of a big deal in Croatia, basically right from then as a little kid. And there's some footage I found when she got back and did like a big concert, or Mia Nikovacic in concert, the big American sensation, still as a kid, where she performed a duet with none other than her competitor at Dora, Nina Kralic, doing a duet of, I kid you not, Wind of Change by the Scorpions.
What?
Wow.
Guess which one of them outsings the other?
Ooh.
I'll give you a hint. It's the kid.
I need to see this clip. Eric, could you do me a favor and make sure that this is put up on Twitter?
I will do that, yes.
Okay.
It's wild. But yeah,
Winds of Change.
She has been even as like a kid star, like a Stefania or a Destiny or something like that. She is a big deal in Croatia and has been for a number of years, despite her age. So
good honor.
Best of luck to her. Best of luck to Colors. If it is that song, it's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah,
and I'm excited to hear what it ends up, if it ultimately gets a release, what it will eventually sound like. Because honestly, the thing that I have heard that is supposedly a demo, like, that's a hell of a demo. Sounds pretty done.
We shall see.
Yeah, it's been reworked who knows how many times.
Right,
since the version that's
the thing. You have to be flexible with this kind of thing, especially with the version that I heard originally was very Bulgarian focused, with a Bulgarian instrumentation as well as that pop vibe.
Dope.
That might not necessarily work in Croatia. It wouldn't necessarily have worked for Malta. So we'll see what they do with this. Anyway, looking forward to hearing whatever the heck Croatia. For all we know, there could be something that we haven't even discussed that's going to come out of the woodwork and blow us away. And who knows?
What do you think is going to be the weird country this year?
Isn't it always San Marino?
Well, I mean, just the country that we don't... What I mean is, like, we have that sort of a reliable roster of quality countries that are going to bring something great. I just wonder what country is going to surprise us this year, you know? Are we going to have an absolute killer from Poland?
Could be.
They're due.
We don't know what country...
They're due, yeah.
We don't know what country Albert's going to be representing. So
we don't know who Ali Ryan is trying to be in touch with. I mean,
that's right. You mentioned San Marino, Sam. We haven't talked about Sanit in a while, but to keep it brief, this freaky trip to Rotterdam has gotten really freaky. And I feel like by the time she gets there, like,
she's going to be freaked out.
It's going to be so freaky.
Either that, or she's just going to pull it back so much. And she's just going to sound like the most standard ballad ever.
That would break my heart.
Me too.
That'd be the worst.
Keep it freaky, Sunit.
So speaking of San Marino, Italy, the worst San Marino, is our larger, older, worse San Marino. By the time this show airs, we haven't heard them here in the past, but by the time you're listening to this, we will know the artists that Italy is potentially working with.
Exactly.
Any rumors, anything we're kind of expecting? Not expecting from this list at this point. Is Diodato going to be at the head of the pack here, or are they going in another direction? Will we see the Penguins again?
Diodato has actually confirmed that he is not sending a song to Sanremo this year.
Boo.
Which is, for me anyway, absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what he says. I don't know if maybe he's coming back as a songwriter. Who the heck knows? But the rumors that I've been hearing have actually included a handful of familiar names to Eurovision fans. There are the rumors that Francesca Michelin, who sang for Italy in 2016 with No Degree of Separation, which is one of my favorites, might be on the list. Ermal Meta may also be on the list as well, who represented the country in 2018, part of a duet. Let's see who else is supposedly on the list. A whole bunch of names from Sanremo's past that we all know, if you know the show. I haven't heard anything about the Penguins, but I have heard a lot from Irama, Arisa, who is a personal fave, Malika Ayane, Annalisa, Achille Lauro, a lot of well-known Italian names, because Sanremo isn't necessarily just a Eurovision selection. It is a showcase for Italy's biggest names.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest, smallest, mediumest, all of the names.
All the names. So Italy. Many names. So who the heck knows? By the time you are listening to our show here, the names will probably be out. So we will see which of these rumors are panning out. And we'll report back, I guess, in the next show.
I'm prepared to have very, very hot takes on Italy.
yeah.
Just the most biggest.
I don't remember if you had any hot takes from Italy last year. I just remember it being all Sweden. I remember it all being Melfest.
Well, I mean, it's just such a commitment to follow Melfest. I tried multiple times, and it just didn't stop.
You're saying that, like, San Remo isn't a massive commitment to get into?
You don't understand. Eric needed an IV after Melfest.
Yeah.
I needed a kidney transplant after San Remo. Let's be real here. It's like 85 hours worth of TV packed into, like, a day and a half. It's a lot.
Yeah, I definitely meant to say I did it again. I meant to say San Remo there and not Melfest. Melfest is digestible. San Remo is
because at least
state
like
state of
with,
mind.
With Melfest, at least you have like a week to recover after every show, and they tend to be pretty snappy and like super slick. San Remo, you are in it for the long haul. Like keep your fluids nearby, like intravenous if you need to. Like consider getting a catheter so you don't have to like stand up. Like you're
stadium
not going
buddy.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, get a shiwi if necessary. Like
shiwi.
Like oh, if you are sitting down and planning on actually watching San Remo, be
cool.
prepared.
All right. Just do a quick Google search just so I can shop for it later. Shiwi. Yeah. I'm sure this search is very illuminating, but it is not helpful right now.
Good luck.
Shout out to Shiwi, friend of the show.
Blech. All right. What do we have next?
See, on our list here, I just have Ulrika gets attention. Anybody want to elucidate on that?
Finally!
Noted singer and attention wanter, Ulrika Brandstorp from Norway, has finally gotten what she needed. And as many lonely white boys in America have also learned, the way to do that was to be a troll. Specifically,
mm-hmm.
she was the troll on
The Masked Singer. Norway.
The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
She won. Apparently there it's called Maskorama.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I haven't heard that like O-Rama suffix since
the late 90s when we had the 50s
like,
resurgence.
I was going to say like, what was the name of the Rob Schneider character on SNL with the copier? Making copies. It's Steve.
O-Rama.
Steve O-Rama. The Steve Meister. Making copies. So yeah, Ulrika, supposedly she was actually playing the long game here. Like according to the reports that I'd seen, people were thinking it was her, but then she ended up performing as herself with another contestant.
Oh no, it couldn't be her.
We saw her, you know, as a guest. Like she went, and it was her the whole time.
That's amazing.
Tricky, 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 Ulrika.
That's brilliant. I'm sure that there are people who are like, there's no reason that it can't still be her. And all those people are feeling pretty good right now.
Oh, yeah. In other Masked Singer news, it looks like Elena Nechayeva, so that incredible opera singer from Estonia, she actually came in second on the Masked Singer over there as a phoenix. Seems very Eurovision appropriate.
How are there so many of these?
It's
like, 'cause it works in any language.
Yeah.
It's not a complaint. Like, I get it. I'm just amazed that it seems like every week there have been four more Eurovision artists that were on a Masked Singer in La Bologna or whatever. And like, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of them.
It's the same thing with Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah. Not, if you're not on one, you're on the other.
I haven't been asked to be on either of those.
You know what? That's exactly what you would expect people to say. I'm still not convinced that you're not the pink crocodile on the US version of The Masked Singer. Like, I've never seen you and the pink crocodile in the same room at the same time.
Listen.
I'm pretty damn sure it's you.
Yeah, listen. If I were the pink crocodile, and I'm not, don't you think that I would... Wouldn't that be wild if it was me? Like, because it's like nobody knows who I am unless you're in the Eurovision world or the Quiz Bowl world. And then like the mask comes off and everybody's like in the audience is like, oh, who's it going to be? Is it going to be? Is it Jason Derulo or is it just some guy? And then they're like, it's some guy. And then everyone looks around like, who the hell is that guy? And I'll be like, hi, I'm Eric from 12 Points for America.
Thanks. Eurovision podcast about America.
Then Ken Jeong throws a shoe at your head. Like, yeah. That's how I imagine that would go.
Yeah.
Good times.
They should do that. Just put some random guy in one of the suits.
Just to see if anybody...
Who isn't famous at all and just see what happens.
It's just like a page over at ABC.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Yeah. It's like, I was just making some coffee and like some guy put a mask on me and here I am. And you guys all thought I was Jimmy Buffett. What? Buffett. That's just the first name that came to my head. I don't know. I think I just really want a margarita. That's how I roll.
Yeah. Well, folks, you can tell us what kind of margarita you want on social media. You can contact us at 12pointsusa on Twitter or Facebook. Email us at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. Send us your questions. We will answer them. Or hit us up, 12pointsforamerica.com. Learn about us. Listen to some old shows and what have you. And check out our Redbubble. Check out our various other websites that I made up. So, yeah.
And again, especially with Eurovision again coming up this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is you know, not to toot our own horns, or really Eric's horn. That is really where I feel like you've been shining, Eric, is on the Twitter during Eurovision again.
It's true. I'm very funny.
You are. You're
very shiny.
Yeah.
So yeah, especially engage with us on that. Like that's probably the easiest way to get in touch. But
let's hang out on Saturday. It's gonna be such a fun show too.
Oh my gosh,
there's gonna be so much awesomeness in those few hours. I'm really excited. I'm excited to see like the presentation, how they're gonna put this all together and everything. So
I mean, supposedly like the team behind the scenes have been working their butts off to come up with this really bespoke show. I think it's 26 songs. So it's not gonna be every country represented, but it's going to be like a full-size show of just the best of the rest from a number of different years. I don't know what songs are going to be on the roster, but I would be shocked, one, if Polygenova's Nine Knot is not on there, and two, if it doesn't come top three. I'm putting my money where my mouth is right now.
My money's on Euro Neuro.
Ooh, risky. Euro Neuro or Igranka? Who do you think is in it?
I think Euro Neuro is really going to make it.
No, I don't know.
Gotta be Igranka.
Maybe.
Enough trolls out there.
Igranka's probably going to be in this.
Yeah.
I bet we'll see at least one Zib from Zibs.
Yeah.
One of the Ziblings.
I'm holding out for Uzari and Maimuna and have no expectations that we'll actually see them, but it would be cool if we did. Gosh, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I'm so excited to see what happens. So if you're listening, please check out the Also Ran season finale of Eurovision again. And not just because we had a hand in it, a very small hand, but because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
A unique thing that really only come together in a year like 2020.
It's one of the few great things about this year, honestly, is something like this. And the incredible, incredible engagement from folks like Rob Holly and the way that the EBU kind of picked it up and embraced it in the way that they did. It's a beautiful thing. So again, massive kudos to them. Probably one of the absolute highlights of an otherwise dumpster fire of a year. So I guess next time that we regroup, it might be possibly our last show of 2020.
It will be, yeah.
Probably.
And we will have most likely maybe our first song or coming up to it, maybe. Depending on the timing.
So
maybe, possibly. But yeah, hopefully in 2 weeks' time we'll regroup. We'll have more news. We'll have more tomfoolery to be fooling around with. And we hope you join us for it. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
America.
Stop listening now.
Red leather, yellow leather, boots and cats, rhubarb, keys and carrots.
You know, usually you're told that on stage, all of the actors are saying peas and carrots, watermelon to each other. That's not true. Whenever you see people in a crowd scene on stage talking to each other, we're trying to make each other break as hard as we can. I'm telling people about the Nuva Ring. That's usually my go-to. So I ask people if they remember the Nuva Ring.
Now you can tell people about the Shiwi.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got some material.
Yeah.